This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the message, please. To visit our websites, they are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. The longer title of this sermon is Sodom and Gomorrah and the Police State. The short one is Sodom and the Mark of the Beast. Here's a new release. Supreme Court overturns Texas gay sex ban. The Supreme Court rejected Texas gay sex ban Thursday, ruling that a state law that punished homosexuals for engaging in sex acts that are legal for heterosexuals was an unconstitutional violation of privacy. The justices struck down the state ruling which said deviant sexual intercourse with another individual of the same sex. So it explains how they were caught and so forth. Justice Kennedy wrote in a 6-3 majority, the law demeans the lives of homosexual persons. Well, the truth is, the conduct of homosexual persons demeans themselves, not the law. It's the way that carnal nature always is. You accuse the law of being hateful because it prohibits something you want to do. It's not the law that is hateful. It is the hateful attitude toward the law. So Justice Anthony Kennedy wrote the decision, adding that men are entitled to respect for their private lives, or that is, in their private lives. The state cannot demean their existence or control their destiny by making their private sexual conduct a crime, Kennedy wrote. And then it lists all of those who agreed with him. Stevens, Souter, Ginsburg, Breyer. Senator Day O'Connor agreed on the outcome of the case, but not on Kennedy's rationale. Rehnquist and Scalia and Clarence Thomas dissented. The court has largely signed on to the so-called homosexual agenda. Now, we'll read a little bit about that a little later. Because once you do this, then you begin opening the door and everything else follows. The court has taken sides in the cultural war, adding he has nothing against homosexuals. Texas officials had defined the law before the court, defended the law rather, saying it promoted the law against homosexuality, promoted the institutions of marriage and family. Well, they're going to find out this. That if they have widespread and broad homosexuality and no children, they're going to run out of people to tax. Now, that ought to make all lawmakers sit up and pay attention. Hello, no kids, no generation, no tax. So you see, in all of this, the question is, where is God? Excluded. When you're excluded, this is what you come up with. Connor told Fox News, Ken Connor of the President of Family Research Council decried the court's decision, saying it will help overturn and deconstruct the idea of traditional marriage. Yes, because they're going to teach the kids beginning in kindergarten that any arrangement is okay. So by time they get to puberty, they're already well down the tube. The institution of families has lost, he said, pointing out that gay sex leads to a significant number of sexually transmitted disease cases. Without a doubt. However, Michael Adam, Director of Education Public Affairs for the Lambda League Defense and Education Fund, hailed the ruling as a victory for gay rights. This is not an issue about sexually transmitted diseases. Well, it will be. This is about what kind of country we are going to have, and that is true, and we will have Sodom and Gomorrah. Our right to privacy and our right to equal treatment needs to be respected like everybody else's. The justices chose a much broader ground rather than just a certain act. There are certain things you do in the privacy of your home between consenting adults that grants a very broad right to people and prevents the states from infringing upon it. This reverses the court decision that they had 17 years ago, which historically called homosexuals deviant sex persons. Laws forbidding homosexual sex, once universal, are now rare. Those on the books are rarely enforced, but underpin other kinds of discrimination, lawyers for the two Texas men had argued in court. Now, isn't it interesting that, and what they decried was this, it's going to lead to homosexual marriages, which they are doing in the Anglican Church right now in Canada. You can be sure that God is not in that church. Now, we're getting down close to the time when those who believe the truth of God, whether they're converted or not, concerning marriage and so forth, are going to have to make a stand. There's a man right now who is doing jail time, as I mentioned before, in Canada, because he dared to put an ad in the paper showing that God outlawed homosexuality. Now let's come to Isaiah 3. And let's see how all of this happens, because this is really very true and a very profound thing that we need to understand. When the leaders and those who make the laws and the judges, those who judge the law and set the final supreme law of the land, when they lead people astray, they are more accountable than the people that they lead astray. Now let's begin right here in verse 4. Isaiah 3. I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. The people shall be oppressed, everyone by another, and that's exactly what this is. The homosexuals say they are oppressed, but what they are doing, they are oppressing the ones who do not believe that homosexuality is right. And it's not a matter of being homophobic. It's a matter of being heterophobic. In other words, the homosexuals have a phobia against heterosexuality, which God created. Everyone by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, the base against the honorable. Well, let's come over here to verse 9. The show of their countenance does testify against them. They declare their sin is Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. And that's exactly what has happened. They have brought penalties upon themselves, irrevocable penalties, that whether they are spoken or not, God will bring upon them because of the nature of their act, because God judges their actions, whether they believe in God or not, yea, even more so if they don't believe in God. Now here's a nice comforting verse. Say to the righteous that it will be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. Woe to the wicked! It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. So it's going to come. And what they are going to learn with this, just like they had to learn with the 50-year golden age in Greece when they had the height of homosexual activity, you don't last very long. That society was over with in 50 years. So we can see the death throes of this society being laid right now. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. So God holds the leaders accountable. Now let's look at what society comes to. Let's look and see what happens and what is going to happen with this. This is going to create... Now, I want you to think about the sermon I gave, when was it? Last November, about Christianity without God, how I covered a little bit of it a couple of weeks ago. And I want you to think about all these. These are not isolated events that are taking place. These are all coming together. These are all being orchestrated by Satan the devil and the forces of evil and those men who believe in Satan's agenda, preach his agenda, live his agenda, and they are going to transform the society into a very evil and wicked society, and it is going to come crashing down. If you think that you've seen anything yet, with the storms, with the tragedies, with the things that have taken place, I think that, as I mentioned when we talked about 9/11, I posed the question, I wonder if this was the beginning of sorrows. Well, it seems as though it's just continuing, doesn't it? Could very well be. Now notice, verse 18, Isaiah 5. Now let's see what God says here. When you take a society and you go directly, diametrically opposite of God's way, and we will see in a little bit that that is a step-by-step procedure which God himself renders his judgment. Verse 18. Woe to them that draw out iniquity with cords of vanity and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. Just treat it as an ordinary, everyday thing. That say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. In other words, they've rejected God. They've told God to go way off someplace and we're doing all these sins. And they say, well, now let's see if God's going to come down and do something about it. God doesn't have to. He has little agents that will take care of that. They're called viruses. And they kill the strongest. Let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come that we may know it. Well, it's been there all the time. It's been there in the Bible. It's right there for you to read. But you won't pick it up and read it, will you? Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, and that's precisely what they have done with this decision with the Supreme Court. That put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Do we live in an upside-down world today? Do we live in a world where even when something is good, how do they express pleasure in it? That's bad. Even the vocabulary is turned upside down. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes. And that's exactly what they're dealing with in these decisions. This is exactly what these people are dealing with. And I'll read a little bit to you about the homosexual agenda in schools in just a second here. Okay. They're wise in their own eyes, but their goal is to destroy and to pervert. And if you think the Catholic priests and their pedophilia are bad, you haven't heard anything until you read about the queering of the schools. Verse 22, woe to them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for a reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from them. That's precisely what they are doing with these movements. They are taking away the righteousness of the righteous, those who want to do good. They're taking it away, and they say, you can't have that, and you can't condemn us. Well, maybe so in a society, but know that God is going to take care of you. Therefore, here's how God is going to do it. As fire devours the stubble and flame consumes the chaff, so shall their root be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Now, I want to talk to all of you who believe that the American Constitution is the greatest document ever written. You're flat wrong. It may be one of the best devised by men, but look what it has led to. The best document written ever is the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. And those people who claim Christian fundamentalism and say that we ought to get back to the Constitution once delivered do not understand that even if you could, which you can't, 200 years from now, if time went on that long, you would be exactly at the same threshold that you are today. Because it is the Constitution and the perverting of the Constitution which has caused the problem that we have, coupled with the fact that people have rejected the Word of God. That's what's caused the problem. God is going to take care of it. Now, let's see the root of this. Let's come to Romans 1. Comment was made, we don't need to get back to the Constitution once delivered. The Bible says we need to get back to the faith once delivered. Absolutely true. There have been societies that have gone through this before. God has taken care of them. All you have to do is read any history book. What happened to Babylon and Egypt and Rome? What happened to all of the societies? Romans, the first chapter. Let's turn there because Paul gives a history of the world and what they have done. They have done it before. And if you've ever seen any movie on the ruins of Sodom and Gomorrah, that ought to put some fear into you. That city is nothing but just dust. And on the ground where fire and brimstone came down, you can go and you can pick up sulfur pellets, like little marbles. And you can burn them. Put it in a little teaspoon and light it. It'll burn right through the teaspoon. And they say that that's the strongest, most powerful sulfur that they have ever discovered on earth. The reason is fire and brimstone came down out of heaven from God and destroyed it. Now, we may talk about that again a little later. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 17, Romans 1. You know, just like there are times to go through and read certain sections of the Bible when we have holy days and the Passover, when we have things like this come up, there are times to read these scriptures again in order to set the record straight. No one would speak for God in the Supreme Court. No one would give the warning that's in the Bible from the Creator God. No one would show how these things have been in the past and destroyed other civilizations and stand there and say, save this country by returning to God. No. You're a kook. You're a religious nut. So God made it clear here, verse 17. For herein, that is in the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now that's how we are to live. Like we said, the faith once delivered. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And I tell you today, you're going to have to live by faith. Because you are going to find yourself in the distinct minority if you ever thought you were not in the minority. And of that minority, you're even going to be a unique, distinct minority. Because not only do you believe the laws of God and the commandments of God, but you also keep His Sabbath and His holy days. So that makes you a unique, distinct minority. But that's okay. God loves you. That's okay. You belong to God. That's okay because God is greater than all the world. Now, for those who don't, verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed, and it has been revealed many, many times. Revealed from heaven against all," might want to circle that, "ungodliness," which this is, "and unrighteousness of men." See, it doesn't come from God. You don't find this in the Bible. You can't reinterpret the Bible. "Who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, I'm going to read you some things that some Anglican bishops have to say, and they're holding the Bible in unrighteousness. And I can just tell you this right now. One of the very reasons that we are doing the New Testament the way we are doing it is because there is coming a change in the Bible to make it gender neuter and to not emphasize sexual differences, and the homosexuals and the satanic Christians, if I could put it that way, the satanic Christ-professing people who are not Christians, will embrace it. Say, this is wonderful. Now we can all get along. Now we finally have a Bible that doesn't condemn us. Now we have a Bible that understands us. Now we have a Bible that is tolerant. But it won't be the Word of God. It'll be the perversion of men. Comment was made, they're going to call it sin-friendly. Yes, no doubt about it. "Who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest to them. For God has shown it to them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead." Go shake your fist at the universe and see what you can do to it if you think you're almighty and can make your own laws, rules, and regulations and live your life apart from God. Try not breathing and resurrect yourself and tell God how great you are. Now, God says, so that they are without excuse. They have no excuse. "Oh, I was born that way." "Because that when they knew God," this is for the leaders, "when they knew God," for those who are supposed to teach about God, "they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, educated, modern, and tolerant. They became fools. Who changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore," you see, God is involved in these things. God is involved in these decisions. When these decisions come down, God is involved to bring the punishment upon them that they will bear. "Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness." Now, the Greek means God abandoned them. Now, if there's anything you never want it to happen to you, is God to abandon you. But that's what it is in the society today. "Through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who exchanged the truth of God," or change the truth of God, "into a lie," and that's what they're doing with the Bible today. When you turn the truth of God into a lie, they worship and serve the created more than the creator. That is human, that is secular humanist religion. They worship man. They worship man's mind. They worship man's ability, as well as things, animals, or whatever, more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Now when they're done with that, the second turning over, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. And that's where we are in this right now. For even her women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust toward one another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was fitting. So every mental torment they get, every venereal disease they get, every fear, every thing that comes along them is a fitting judgment from God, which no one has to inflict upon themselves. No one has to stand up and be against them because they are against God. And when they fight God, they will lose. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and that's exactly where we are today. There's no knowledge of God. Where? Where is the knowledge of God? Nowhere. God gave them over. Okay, here's the third one, see? 1, 2, 3. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Minds void of judgment. And that goes for the Supreme Court of the United States. See, people look to their intellect. People look to their political leanings. But God says, when you will go against him and you accept these things, then you have a mind void of judgment. You have a reprobate mind, and those are the ones who are making the laws of the land. And this is why Jesus Christ has to return. No man can turn it back. No man can change it. No one is going to make any difference. It's going to be the return of Christ. And that's why he's going to come in power. And that's why he's going to come and shake the heavens and the earth. And all men who think the Israel great and mighty and wise and powerful are going to absolutely just become nothing but quivering, fearful men hiding in caves and dens. Reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, because you see, this leads to everything else. Covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. Oh yes, you've got to take people to court because they do not want to have that you swear allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, one nation indivisible under God. They don't want that. Got to take that out. Yet on our lying currency, they have "In God We Trust." Well, you talk about a schizophrenic nation. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents. Now they have it. Now they're going to pass a law that you can't even discipline your children. You can't even lay a hand on your children anymore. Because they know it's going to create rebellious brats that they can control and make new laws and rule over. Without understanding. Now, there could be some people mad at what I say. Too bad. Take up your cause with God. Covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And God is the one who has power over life and death. Any man who seeks to take it to himself is going against God. Now, let's look at a couple of scriptures here. Let's come to Leviticus 18. Leviticus 18. Let's ask a question. Where on earth did you get sex in the first place? Important question, because you see, we didn't evolve. God made us, so God made sex, male and female. That's one of the very first things it said there in Genesis, the first chapter, right? God made man in his own image, male and female made he them. God is the author of sex. He says, sex in marriage is what I created you for. Now then, let's pick it up here in verse 1, Leviticus 18. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, you shall not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, where I bring you, you shall not do, neither shall you walk in their ordinances. Isn't it interesting how we've read many times back there, Revelation 11 and 8, that it's the world society is likened unto Sodom and Egypt? There we have it. You shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Then he defines all the illicit relationships, sexual excursions, beginning with incest, coming all the way down through various family members. Now let's come down here to verse 22. I'll let you read all of that. God says here, verse 22, you shall not. Now that's plain and simple English, easy to understand in any language, isn't it? You shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. That's what God says it is. And those who do so pervert any society, degrade any society, take down any society, and because they're unrepentant in their relentless homosexuality, they want to destroy the rest of the world with it. Now God says, neither shall you lie with any beast to defile yourself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not yourself in any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Now then, here comes a warning. This is one of the reasons why God says that we're going into captivity. And it will happen. If the people do not begin to clean up their own lives personally and to have God in their lives, in the community, in the state, and in the nation, this is going to happen. And this has nothing to do with a political party. This has nothing to do with a human condemnation. This has to do with God's judgment and God's condemnation, and he is very capable of carrying it out, and he will carry it out. It is a promise. He says, defile not yourself, for all these nations are defiled, at which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled. Now, that's another whole sermon topic, or two or three or four. Maybe books can be written about how the land is defiled by genetic engineering, by chemicals, by fertilizers, by adultery, by a fornication, by the conduct of people in the land. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. God's going to visit this iniquity. God looks down to see. And the land itself vomits out her inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and judgments. You shall not commit any of these abominations. Now, is that clear? Very clear. Neither shall any of your nation, nor any stranger that sojourns with you, for all these abominations have the men of the land done which were before you, and the land is defiled. He says that the land spew you not out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before them. For whosoever shall commit any, might want to circle that, any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore, you shall keep my ordinance, that you may commit none, not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. God backs it up with the fact that he is God, and he will execute judgment, and he will bring it to pass. Now then, you can turn to Leviticus 20 and see all the penalties for them. They range from death penalty all the way down to other things. Yes, remember, the littlest words have the biggest impact. All, any, none, not. Now let's come to Deuteronomy 18. Let's see what else goes along with these things. What comes along in a society when that happens? You know, even though these things have to be discussed topic by topic or issue by issue, they are all part of a whole and they all fit together. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9. When you are come into the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or daughter to pass through the fire, that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all, there's that word again, that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord your God. Because of these abominations, the Lord your God does drive them out from before you. You shall be perfect with the Lord your God. Now, not content, you see. Here's quite an article, Queering of the Schools, by Margie King. The aim of Queering the Schools is this: to stamp out hegemonic heterosexuality. In other words, to get rid of God, marriage, man and woman. That is the traditional view that heterosexuality is normal. Now they're going to make it abnormal, in favor of a new ethos that does not just tolerate homosexuality, but instead actively endorses experimenting with it as young as possible, as well as a polymorphous range of bisexuality, transgenderism, and transsexuality. The educational establishment has enthusiastically signed on. What portends for the future of public schools and the psychic health of the nation's children is deeply worrisome. Now, if you have children, as I said before, if you can homeschool them, you better do it. This movement to queer the public schools, as activists put it, originated with a shift in the elite understanding of homosexuality. During the 80s, when gay activism first became a major cultural force, homosexual leaders launched a campaign that mirrored the civil rights movement. To claim their rights, homosexuals argued, without scientific evidence, that their orientation was a genetic inheritance like race and thus deserved the same kind of civil protections that the nation had guaranteed to blacks. An inborn, unchangeable fact, after all, could not be subject to moral disapproval. There ensued a successful effort to normalize homosexuality throughout the culture, including a strong push for homosexual marriage, gays in the military, and other signs of civic equality. Now, the queer theory is this. The queer theory is we choose to be, and defiantly so. It is, in their jargon, socially constructed. For the queer theorist, all unambiguous and permanent notions of a natural sexual or gender identity are coercive impositions on our individual autonomy, our freedom to reinvent our sexual selves whenever we like. Sexuality is an androgynous, fluid, polymorphous, and therefore a laudable, subversive, and even revolutionary force. And so what they do is they encourage sexual experimentation at an early age. A relatively recent arrival on college campuses, queer theory has swiftly dominated the myriad university gender studies study programs and spread its influence to other disciplines too, queering everything under the sun. Type queering in Amazon.com engine search and come up with Queering the Middle Ages, Queering the Color Line, Queering Indian, many other books, many from prodigious academic presses. Now, we are kind of living in a vacuum. Glad we are. We don't need to have all of that, but that's what's going on. Now, they have the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Educational Network called GELSIN. GELSIN often presents itself as a civil rights organization saying that it is only after tolerance and understanding for a victim group. That's all they're trying to do. Sometimes, therefore, it speaks of the old gay rights language of unchangeable homosexual identity and orientation. But it is, in fact, a radical organization that has clearly embraced the queer theory worldview. It seeks to transform the culture and the instruction of every public school so that children will learn to equate heterosexualism, the favoring of heterosexuality is normal, with other evils like racism, sexism, and will grow up pondering their own sexual orientation and the fluidity of their sexual identity, so therefore they can run into the arms of Catholic priest pedophiles and into the arms of pedophilia teachers. That Glenson embraces the queer theory is clear from the addition of transgender students to the gays and lesbians the group claims to represent. One of the major goals of Glenson and other similar groups is to reform public school curriculum and teaching that gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, or LGBT themes are always central and always presented in the approved light. GSLEN holds regular conferences for educators and activists with workshops bearing such titles as Girls Will Be Boys and Boys Will Be Girls, creating a safe, supportive school environment for transsexual, intersexual, gender variant, gender questioning youth, and developing the implementation of a transgender inclusive curriculum. Now, that's what they want. Every course in public school should focus on the LGBT issues, Glenson believes. A workshop at Glenson's annual conference in Chicago in 2000 complained that most LGBT curricula are in English, history, and health, and sought ways of introducing its agenda into math and science classes as well. Nor is it too early to begin stamping out heterosexualism. A 202 Gelson conference in Boston held a seminar on gender in early childhood classroom that examined ways of setting the tone for non-traditional gender role play for preschoolers to get the help of the LGBT message across to younger children. Teachers can turn to an array of educational products, many of them provided by Gelson. Early readers include One Dad, Two Dads, Brown Dad, Blue Dads, King and King, and Ash's Moms. Those are teaching things for our school. Your tax money is paying for it. They're so locked in that there's nothing you can do about it. See, because we live in a society that has Christianity, which is really Satanism without God. As part of its effort to make public schools into an area, an arena, of homosexual and transgender advocacy, Glelson works assiduously to build a wide network of student organizations. It looks for recruits as young as 14, who in turn are to bring on board other students to form gay straight alliances and other homosexual themed student clubs at their schools. Glancing over the biographies of the 2002 student organizers reveals a uniform faith among them that experimenting with a range of homosexual behaviors serves the cause of civil rights. Now, this article in Querying Schools, I didn't reach the worst parts, but it is profoundly evil. And I want to read you from the Anglican Famine of the Word. This is one of the internet news outlets. The Church of England's Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowand Williams, appealed to the church early this week to not become obsessed with issues of sexuality. The Anglican leader said this to calm the rift in the church, which is widened by recent allowance of gay marriages in Canada, the recent appointment of a gay man as bishop of Reading, that is, Geoffrey Reading is I don't know where Reading is, but anyway, his name is Geoffrey Johnson, and an openly gay man as Bishop of New Hampshire, Canon Jean Robinson. Williams has not been a firm upholder of the 98 Lambeth Conference decision, which holds that allowing homosexual relationships is incompatible with Scripture. However, the primate, I think it's interesting, they use the word primate. Ever I hear that word, I think of a gorilla. The primate of the Anglican Church of Australia, the most revved, Peter Carnley, is leading Anglicans in another direction, challenging the 38-member churches of the communion to not hold firmly to the disputed text with righteous indignation, but to embrace alternative readings of the Scriptures. Well, they're going to be accommodated with the inclusive version of the Bible. In a letter to the Churches of the Communion, Carnley wrote, "Even the most preliminary look at the chapters of this report relating to a handful of biblical texts that are relevant to homosexual questions will reveal something of a wide diversity of viewpoint about their correct interpretations. These ancient texts..." Oh, if it's ancient, it's bad, see. "Warn against undisciplined, promiscuous behavior that is declared to be contrary to the divine will because it fractures what should be a steadily committed personal relationship of love. Or can these texts also determine the wrongness or otherwise of long-term and committed relationship among people of the same sex? Given the concept that homosexually oriented person is a relatively modern invention of the mid-19th century," and he's supposed to have a Bible in his hands? "Can these ancient texts be lifted out of their original context, which assumes an undifferentiated heterosexuality, so as to be made to apply to essentially a modern question about faithfully committed homosexual people?" You talk about turning things upside down. You talk about minds void of judgment. I'm reading here a reprobate mind. "The answer to that question is not so obvious to some people as it apparently is to some Sydney Anglicans. Despite suggestions to the contrary, all of us agree unreservedly about the uniquely normative and authoritative place of the scriptural text within the Christian tradition. Now notice how they water it down. The exact meaning to be read from these texts, whether they can be rightly made to provide a neat prepackaged answer to our contemporary questions, is what at issue. Meanwhile, anyone brave enough to claim, now here's the put down, anyone brave enough to claim to know the inner mind of God on the basis of a personal claim to be privy to the only conceivable interpretation of some biblical text is guilty of self-delusion. In other words, if you believe the truth, you're deluding yourself. Do you believe that? Like Hamlet, there is one reading of them. There is no one reading of them, rather. The debate itself is testimony to the complexities of the interpretive task. How do you interpret "you shall not"? What are most needed right now are honesty and humility and a willingness to acknowledge the possibility of alternative readings of hotly disputed text. How are you going to have an alternate reading of it? Pray tell. Okay. Now then, let's go to 2 Peter, the second chapter, because we still have to exist in this society. And as we will see, because of these things, it will become more dangerous and more frustrating. Remember that when Abraham bargained with God to spare Lot, there were not even 10 righteous people in Sodom. Let's begin right here in verse 1, because this is what they're doing. We just read it. We just read it. See? Chapter 2 and verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who shall privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be blasphemed. And that's what he just did. What is the alternative rendering of "thou shalt not"? Could it be "thou shalt"? It's like the algebra teacher teaching a messed up math where the student comes out with the answer that 0 equals 1. Now notice, verse 3. And through covetousness they shall, with feigned words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. Now he says you need to consider this. For if, there's that little word again, for if God spared not the angels, now they're greater than men, aren't they, that sinned, but cast them down to hell, that is Tartarus, a place of restraint, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now you compare that with what we read in Romans 1, and even the angels that sinned have the same judgment rendered upon them that humans did, right? And spared not the old world, he flooded the whole world, destroyed it with a flood. And even the atheistic geologists and paleontologists know that the flood covered the earth. Actually, two floods. But save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And the only reason we don't have another flood is because God promised not to. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after that occurrence should live ungodly. Now, what they ought to do is make it mandatory for every homosexual to take a tour of where Sodom and Gomorrah used to be. And then ask them the question, do you want this judgment of God upon you? Now, no man has to bring it. God is going to bring it. He'll bring it one way or another. But that's an example. Now, notice, and delivered righteous Lot, frustrated with the filthy conduct of the wicked. Now, that's the way it should read. So what we're going to find is, verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, which we do today, don't we? Imagine what he saw and heard, because there was only he, his two daughters, and his wife that were willing to believe God to leave, but even his wife didn't believe fully. So imagine what he saw, imagine what he heard. Vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So we're going to be living in a time of more frustration if you look to the world and don't look to God. Just the way it's going to be. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So God is going to take care of it. Christ is going to return. And then let's see them do some publishing like this and see how long they last. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Now that means despise the governing of the Lord in their lives. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Boy, quite a condemnation, isn't it? Now, that's only one worry, if we could put it that way. It's not a worry, but it's only one thing that is going to cause you difficulty in living in this world. Now, there's another one that's coming. And it's coming. It's going to be the mark of the beast. Now, remember, what was it, a little over a year ago, or 2 years ago, I brought the mark of the beast is here. And I said, don't get excited, it's going to come. It's on its way. And I'm going to show you today that it is going to be so accepted that when it comes down to the time when they enforce the mark of the beast on the right hand or the forehead of people, those who don't take it will be literally thought to be crazy. Here's why. ID technology, a waiting avalanche. Here's an experience I'd like to have at my local video store on a busy Friday night. I asked the clerk if the classic 1952 musical Singing in the Rain is available. The clerk looks down at her computer and says, yes, just look for the blinking light on aisle 7. You don't even have to go read. Sure enough, there's a green light blinking on the third shelf from the floor in the middle of the aisle, exactly where the DVD of Singing in the Rain waits for me. I grab the disc, I go to a kiosk by the exit. A message flashes on the screen. Welcome, Mike. The rental for this movie is $3.99 for 2 nights, and you'll be charged on your Visa card. Press 1 if you want a receipt. I decline the receipt, walk out the door without ever opening my wallet. Now, remember how they mentally program people for this? By having the man wearing this long coat and going in the store and stuffing things in, and, you know, he's going to walk out as a big shoplifter. And there's a security guard right at the door, and when he goes through the kiosk. The kiosk is that detector. So the security guard is there and says, Mr. Brown, here's your receipt. This type of fast and convenient transaction could become common in 3 to 5 years thanks to a rapidly emerging technology called radio frequency identification, or RFID. RFID has been around for years. It's already used in fast-track transponders that automatically pay tolls on Bay Area bridges. Now, you see, what we're going to talk about are these things which is going to make the mark of the beast acceptable, though it is not the mark of the beast. But it puts you in a position, whether you buy something or you're a merchant who sells something, that if you do not have these things in your products, you cannot buy and you cannot sell. So it's not directly the mark of the beast in your right hand or in your forehead. It is paving the way for it, you see. Implanted ID chips have been used for pets and livestock and subway cash cards. They've done that. This has been for years. They use them in Singapore, Hong Kong, other places, these subway cash cards. But a new generation of low-cost RFID tags combined with the Internet's power to instantly move data around the world is opening up huge new opportunities and promoting some Silicon Valley entrepreneurs and investors to tout RFID, as a candidate for the next big thing. So lo and behold, what is going to rescue the economy from the downturn? This. It's an avalanche. This threatens to hype itself out of control, says Jeffrey Baer, a partner in U.S. Venture Partners of Menlo Park. He said Tuesday night as he moderated a panel discussion on the RFID at Stanford University's Graduate School of Business. Now, here's what it's going to do. Okay, the biggest news by far came June 11th, when Walmart stores, the world's largest retailer, ordered its top 100 suppliers to begin using RFID tags on shipments beginning in January 2005. Among other RFID headlines, in January, Gillette, which makes all Gillette products and razors and so forth, ordered 500 million low-cost RFID tags from Alien Technology of Morgan Hill, 20 miles from here. The first giant order for RFID from a manufacturer, major manufacturer of consumer goods. In May, Visa and Philips Electronic announced partnership to develop RFID credit cards. Earlier this month, Microsoft joined the Auto Identity Center of Massachusetts Institute of Technology, the major research organization developing RFID technology, and Delta Airlines said it will test RFID luggage tags in Jacksonville, Florida. Most of these companies are looking for simple RFID tags that can respond from a distance of 5 to 10 feet. But that's just the start. Fancier tags that include batteries to boost power transmission can have a much greater range. RFID makes it possible to collect information automatically and quickly in ways that would never be possible with barcode scanners. An RFID reader can, for example, instantly discover what's inside a sealed shipping container sitting on a dock. If that container holds a perishable commodity such as cut flowers, an RFID tag tied to a sensor can communicate the internal temperature and humidity. Walmart and other retailers are hoping that RFID will help them keep better track of inventory. Oh, yes, but what about inventory after it leaves the store? What about now having something drive through the neighborhood and you can tell everything that you own and how much you own and where it is in the house? At first in warehouses, eventually on store shelves, it makes it less likely that they'll be out of stock out of stock on products that customers want, and also they'll be able to track thieves who shoplift and take it home, won't they? Especially if it becomes global positioning, correct? Yes, indeed. The biggest obstacle until now has been cost, and it shows that they will be below a penny in the near future. They also say that you can rig it up with your home, and you just plug into your home and ask your home computer, do I need to stop by the store tonight and pick up anything? Computer says, yes, you're low on this and this and this and this, because it reads a little grain of chip. Now, you see, what it's disclosing way beyond the 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 feet away that it's talking about, see. They're disclosing they already have the technology. I'm betting houses, yes, they'll be refit with it. I'm also convinced the most fascinating and important applications of RFID haven't even been conceived yet, but will unfold as RFID technology becomes more widely used. Not that RFID is a slam dunk. There are still some daunting technical issues involving reliability, how to share RFID data, as well as social issues involving privacy and security. And if you don't have one, you will be considered a terrorist. None of these is insurmountable. But I wouldn't be surprised if we're entering the familiar Silicon Valley cycle of an early overenthusiasm followed by a letdown when instant riches fail to materialize. Michelin is going to put them in their tires. Implantable chip on sale now. Before we read any more, let's go to Revelation 13, where it talks about the mark of the beast. And as I said in the sermon I gave 2 years ago about the mark of the beast, of course it'll be voluntary. Mm-hmm. And the biggest boon they can say is this, look, we won't need your Social Security number for identification anymore. We can obey the law. You have a new, just identification number. Now, in this, I want you to also think about the huge bank of that they're doing for storing information, where they have this great, it's under Admiral Poindexter, a great product, project of trying to integrate all knowledge of all people in America into one computer base. Everything about you. Okay, now this has to do with the Vera chip. So this brings us back to where we were before. Maker of an implantable human ID chip has launched a nationwide campaign to promote the device, offering $50 discount for the first 100,000 people who register to get embedded with the microchip. Applied Digital Solutions has coined the tagline, Get Chipped, to market its Vera chip. So they'll get chipped. Okay, let's see what's going to happen with that. Revelation 13. Let's begin here in verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. Oh, it looked like Christ, all right. But he spoke as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, so he makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, to show that this is good, to show that he has power, to show that we're going to bring peace on earth. And after all, isn't it only logical that everyone have this so we know who you are, where you are, and what you're doing, And we don't have to worry about terrorists. We don't have to worry about identity theft. We don't have to worry about any of these things. You'll have a guaranteed job. You'll have guaranteed benefits. Everything will be guaranteed. And isn't that what you want? Oh, one other thing. Since we now have God on earth, he was just in the temple proclaiming himself to be God, we're going to make an image to him. And I'll make it speak, and you're going to worship it. And if you don't worship it, you're going to die. Because we need law. We need order. We need sense. We need stability. We need to get rid of the terrorists. We need to get rid of these warring nations. I mean, I can write the storyline, having studied the Bible enough to know. Okay? Now let's come down here to verse 16. And he causes all. Might circle that. There's another one of those little powerful words, right? All, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, when you have all products having the RFID in it, when you have bank cards that had the RFID in it, and also they are now developing a little thread that they can put in the new United States currency, which is programmable. And they will know where this money goes. It's something. Now, how are they going to bring this upon everybody? Well, first is going to be voluntary here. Okay. Let me read a little bit more about it. The rice-sized device, it's just small. Get a little grain of rice and look at it, see. Cost $200. Those implanted may also have to pay for a doctor's injection fee and a $10 a month database maintenance charge. The VeriChip emits 125 kilohertz radio frequency signal. That's just under the AM band, that transmits its unique ID number to a scanner. The number then accesses a computer database containing the client's file. Customers fill out a form detailing the information they want linked to their chip when they undergo the procedure. Earlier this week, Applied Digital Systems announced that the FDA had ruled that the VeriChip was not a regulated device when it is used for security, financial, or personal identification and safety applications. Just reversed itself, see. The agency's sudden approval of the microchip came despite an FDA investigator's concern about the potential health effects that it would have in humans. Microchips have been used to track animals for years, so what are you worried about? Now we put you in the category of an animal, right? We're going to track you down. Later we'll hunt you down. The company is making the device for a variety of security applications. Did we not cover these 2 years ago? For instance, in power plants. Instead of swiping a smart card, employees could swipe their arm containing the chip. Reducing financial fraud. Oh, wonderful. All those who have had identity theft, 10-1, they'll be one of the first ones to line up and get it. In this scenario, people could use their chip to withdraw money from ATMs. Their accounts could not be accessed unless they were physically present. What if you cut off the hand that took it over there and waved it? Decreasing identity theft. Now I know why they haven't been pushing to really punish these people. So they can bring this in. People could use the chip as a password to access their computers at home, for example. ADS has gotten hundreds of inquiries from people interested in being implanted. Meanwhile, privacy advocates are wondering about the specter of forced chipping. Oh, we would never do that. ID chips are a form of electronic leases, a form of digital control, says Mark Rotterman, executive director of the Electronic Privacy Information Center. What happens if an employer makes it a condition of employment for a person to be implanted with a chip? Well, we would love to have you work here. You are so high qualified, and we really like you as a person. But since you won't have the chip, we can't hire you. It could easily become a condition of release for parolees or a requirement for welfare. Hooray, we can eliminate welfare fraud. I mean, think of it. Think of how this is going to go down. Rotberg said that his organization has filed a Freedom of Information request to learn more about the details of the FDA's sudden approval of VeriChip. The chip has alarmed some Christians who fear it is the biblical mark of the beast. Yes, indeed. The company has consistently tried to allay such fears since the chip was introduced in December 2001, so it was a little over 2 years ago that I gave that. It is a voluntary device that we think has enormous utility. This is intended for good purposes. ADS said, seven healthcare facilities located in Arizona, Texas, Florida, and Virginia have signed up to distribute the chip in addition to mobilizing a large bus the company has outfitted as a mobile chipping station. Would-be customers can also register online. The company plans to develop a prototype of an implantable GPS ID chip by the end of the year. Exactly what we said 2 years ago. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it is here. What about the first thing they will do is people with Alzheimer's disease? Well, with this GPS, your father and mother will never get lost again. We'll be able to track them immediately. And we can even tell you where you can just drive over and pick them up and have them get in your car, and you can bring them right back here. You can have the most wonderful, comfortable security, and you won't have to worry about them. They're in safe hands. See, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death, is it not? Let's understand something. The best way to implement evil is for a good cause. Satan loves do-gooders, especially those who don't believe in God, especially those who are willing to perpetrate his good upon the society. Mm-hmm. Same thing Satan's always done. Create a crisis, have a solution to crisis. Just think how many problems this is going to save. Now you go back and you think, why have all these things gone on so long and so difficult and unable to change and unable to get rid of? Is it that they have been setting it up? Maybe not deliberately in a conscious way, saying, oh, well, we won't do anything about this because we know that the mark of the beast is coming. No, I'm not saying that they're thinking that. But Satan has made it in such a way that these things cannot be solved so he can bring the solution later. Now remember, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Not all good comes from God. See? That which appears to be good has a good effect, but takes away the choice that God has given the individual is evil. Well, let's put it in guns so we know where the gun is. Let's put it in sex offenders so that we know where they are and they can't commit any crime. Why, we can put a special one in them so we will be able to read when they're beginning to get into the mood of committing a sexual crime. Won't that be good? See, any way to get away from the commandments of God. Any way to take away your free moral agency and choice to choose God's way and reject the evil. But you see, along with this comes a thing that if you believe in God, you are inherently evil because you were against the good we're doing. You get the movie and rent it out, Enemy of the State, and understand the technology there is 30 years old. Now I want to cover another thing that comes along with this. Let's come to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, because this is coming. Matthew 24. Now let's begin right here in verse 4, since we've gone over these verses many times, and we'll go over them many times again in the future. Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you," and that's the greatest thing you need to watch for. Many people, even in the church of God, are out there today, and they're just kind of like ding-dongs, going around looking for any silly doctrine that comes along, and there are plenty enough men who are out there to lead you astray, and there are plenty of people who have itching ears who want to hear something new, and they then leave the good sense of the Bible and go off on some tangent, and then come back later and write bad things about me and publish it on the Internet. Okay. For many shall say, shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Hey, even Satan says that he's Christian. And shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, and the end is not yet. Not going to happen yet. How far away is the end? We don't know. But we need to keep watching, as we said last time. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes. And we can put in there along with that the disturbed weather, tornadoes and hurricanes in different places. These are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now I want to read another report. SWAT teams, detectives raid local church. Kissimmee, Florida. A local church was the target of a series of raids Wednesday in two central Florida counties. You know how it is now. You do something wrong and 15 police show up. You know, you have a flat tire and here comes a policeman, a wrecker car, or a tow truck, sorry, politically incorrect, and a fire truck. And then comes the sheriff department, and then comes a private security, and they're all standing around, they're talking about it, and here's this guy, he had a blowout on his tire. I mean, it's almost, in Hollister, this is Siren Alley. Sirens are going all the time. SWAT teams and detectives armed with search warrants, we're looking for signs of child abuse. SWAT teams surrounded 300 Creek Apartments rented by Faith in God Christian Deliverance Church. Later, detectives served church warrants at the Osceola County home of the church's pastor, Jack Russell Jones. Is there any abuse going on? Reporter was asking. Absolutely not. You know, this reminds me of Waco. Waco was vehement hatred of the United States government against people who didn't agree with them, and they killed and murdered every one of them for no cause but to show their authority against those who believe in Christ, though they didn't believe 100% in the Bible. That's what it's all about. That's what Waco was about. And Janet Reno said, "Oh, we want to save the little children." So she burned them up. The alleged charge that they had guns, they never found any. You just need to understand your good old U.S. government lies through its teeth, and it wants the power, and it wants to take over, and it wants to run your life. If you don't believe it, I've got another one I don't even have a chance to get into. It is not homeland security. It is homeland dictatorship. They can arrest you and hold you incognito without access to a lawyer by the new Patriot Act number one and number two. And they can hold you for an indeterminable length of time. And it will make the Dreyfus case, which finally did away with Devil's Island that France used to run, look like pipsqueak time. Now then, continuing on here with this. Despite Pastor Jones' denials, detectives removed a dozen children from toddlers to teens to check for signs of physical abuse. They're free to search my apartment, whatever. I have videotapes of all my services, whatever. I could care less, but I'm tired of it. That's why Johnny Cochran is on his way, Jones said. Same mess. Garbage. That's what it is, garbage, Chana Jones says. The pastor's wife said disgruntled church members kicked out of the congregation have made these allegations before. Have any of them been physically abused in any way? Keeling asked. No, honey. We would love to say that, but that's not the truth. Detectives say those former members have called them with accusations of physical abuse against children. Betray one another, right? There it is. And the United States government wants to enlist all post office workers to be spies on their routes about any behavior they think is not right, so we can fight terrorism. Yeah, including UPS and FedEx if they volunteer for. We're talking about more than two, more than three, and the thing is, now you don't know who your accusers are. Oh, we can't tell you. They are protected by law. But you have no protections? Well, so forth. And they're all calling us with the same information because they sat down and agreed to do so. And they're calling us from all parts of the nation, Orange County Sheriff's spokesman said. Among the items seized, what looked like old-fashioned switches. I used to have to go out and pick my own. I was an accomplice to my mother's child abuse. But the woman known as Prophetess Jones says a church member uses them for making weaving baskets. Okay? The Joneses' followers do have a place to congregate, but this banner is about the only sign of faith in God Christian Deliverance Church. It's tucked in the back of an industrial park here in northern Kissimmee. Because the children are homeschooled. What a crime. Actually, find that homeschoolers are smarter, better adjusted, have no psychological problems, no drug problems, no sex problems. But to this world, that's bad. And they are a part of a small, secretive church, detectives said. They have no choice but to make the raids and see for themselves. Based on interviews conducted so far, as detectives tell us, they don't plan to charge anyone in the church with child abuse. They are continuing to review financial records and other items seized. Police state coming. It's not about homeland security, it's about homeland control. It is nearly impossible to make the least bit of sense out of the combined 170,000 words of gibberish contained in the Homeland Security Act, Patriot Act 1 and Patriot Act 2. And notice how quickly after the event those things came out, like they were just sitting on the shelf waiting. In an attempt to make these acts all the more impossible to read, much of the verbiage is actually encrypted modification of other equally unintelligible laws. It would take an army of researchers just to get all the amended documents together in one place, which means you can be sure that not a single member of Congress read these acts before they voted to approve them, let alone understand the impact of them. It's not enough. If that is not enough, there's another agency lurking about called the TIA, the Total Informational Agency, or, an acronym, the Totalitarian Information Agency. This is the one where every piece of information about you is fed into a computer that is so huge that they had to make up a whole new unit of measure, the petabyte, to describe the enormous size of the hard drives that will be required to store the mountains of information the TIA is collecting about you. In a very strange twist, the TIA is headed up by retired Admiral John Poindexter, who is Catholic. And so is the Homeland Director. Know where this is coming from and what purpose it is going to be used for. Now, on a personal level, we should all be happy that the Admiral's five Iran-Contra-related felony convictions were overturned. But we seem to have scraped way past the bottom of the barrel and reached into the mud and the rocks if we had to recruit a man with his record for such a sensitive job, a wholly unconstitutional job, I might add. It gets better. The Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, or DARPA, has just issued contract bids for a new control mechanism called LifeLog. That is going to be a new computer system that will analyze all of our behavior habits and routines in order to capture each person's experience in and interaction with the world. And, of course, when the mark of the beast comes, that'll lock it all in together. This thing is huge. It is big. It is humongous. It is just absolutely mind-boggling. Why does our government need to know every detail of our lives? Just what do these people have in store for our republic? Total killing of all Christians who resist. The overseas offices are Canada, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, Postal Code K6V5V2. For Australia, Biblical Truth Ministries, GPO Box 1574, Sydney, 2001. New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihi, Waihi, 2981. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Wilroe, Wilro, Park, Postal Code 1731, United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham, Postal Code CM81WZ, United Kingdom.